Good morning and welcome to the Weldon Green podcast. Today I'm going to bring you a new episode of the Ask Weldon Show. You can check the show out live every day, 6:30 p.m. at twitch.tv/mindgamesweldon. And remember that everything in the Mind Games brand is supported by the Mac program, mindgames.gg/MAC. And you guys should use the code podcast as you're listening to the audio version of the show rather than the code that I share during the video. All right, let's hop into it. Good morning and welcome to the Ask Weldon Show episode 227. Today we are going to talk about the ability to go further, but not being able to pull it out and get that victory and climb. That is the main theme of the beginning of today's show. Welcome to the Ask Weldon Show. My name is Weldon. This is my show. And this is the show where people ask me questions related to esports psychology, generally speaking, or training and getting better at League of Legends and various other esports. And I answer with my background as a professional sports psychology trainer in esport and as a professional esport coach. And you can call in your own question using the Anchor app. It's not a sponsor or anything. It's just a really convenient way for me to host my podcast. And it lets you follow my profile and then call in a question, send an audio, and then I can play it here on the show really easily, all categorized and easily able to play through a web client for me. And on top of that, they have this... They tool the audio somehow, so my podcast sounds really nice. And when you use your phone to call in, it doesn't sound like you're talking through a phone microphone. It sounds like you're kind of talking through something like this. So I like it because it prepares your audio for my show, making you sound pretty cool. And I'm only a few days behind on questions right now, so the best way to get a question on the show is to call in right now, get in line, and hear your question within the next 2 or 3 days on the show. All right. No big announcements. I think midsummer is over, so now days are getting shorter in Finland, so I'm starting to feel depressed already about that. Eventually, it will be November. It will be dark. The sun will come up for a couple hours a day. It will be rainy and cold, and let's just not think about it anymore. All right. Why don't we get into the show? First question is from Sinjin, and yeah, it's the one I was introducing earlier.
Hey Weldon, my name is Sinjin, and I've been stuck in Diamond 3 for the past 2 seasons of League. At a point, I was practicing 8 to 10 hours a day for months, and I couldn't seem to break the ceiling. I feel like most of the time when I want to sit down and grind and climb, I'm in a sort of haze, where I can't think clearly or play at my best, and I'm not sure how to overcome this. I know I have the ability to go further, I just don't know how to channel it into wins. Thank you.
All right. I think that this is a very exciting and quite simple problem. So, essentially, a lot of people have the capability of climbing past where they are in terms of their craft and their skill set. And what they're stuck with is that there are a million different avenues to get there. If you don't have a teacher or an instructor who says, like, this is the very next thing that you need to do to get better and focus on that and you will be better, then there's a kind of like, there's a kind of lock where you're thinking, oh, maybe this is what I need to do. But then if I invest time in that and it's wrong, I'll have wasted that time. So should I do this or should I do this or what should I do? Or there's so many things I could do or, you know, so there can be a combination of fear of putting in effort towards the wrong thing. There can be a combination of not really knowing what to do and just kind of spinning your wheels. There can be a combination of so many paths that you have decision fatigue just thinking about it. And you're just like, oh, I'm frozen because I have all of these opportunities and you end up not taking any of them because you don't even know which one to start on, right? So, Sinjin, what you need to do is you need to go and you're Diamond 3, right? So you need to look at people who are directly above you. I would recommend studying the VODs of people who are Diamond 1. Diamond 1 or low masters, right? And I would say you have to pick one or two things that you are inconsistent at, that you need to fill in the gaps on, okay? So that is like there are a huge number of things that are the difference between you and a challenger player. And some of these things you already have the capability of doing and you already can do, but they aren't the things that are holding you back from getting to, for example, master's tier. And so if you look at somebody who's closer in rank to you, you will see, okay, well, I'm better than them at this and this and this and this, but this thing they're doing very consistently, and I don't do that in my game. There's one thing, just one thing to focus on. Get maybe two things. And then the next thing you need to do is you need to prioritize them. So you sit down at the beginning of the day, and you write down a priority list for things that you want to focus on that day, and you write down a maximum of three priorities. So it would be awesome if I'm able to practice this today. Secondly, it would be awesome if I'm able to practice this. And third, my third priority is this. That's it. Okay, nothing more. And every single time you enter into a game, you're focusing on those three priorities from the highest to the lowest in terms of what you're capable of. And every time you start to get lost in a game and feel hazy, like, what do I do? What do I do? You pause the game, you pause your mindset, you have your priority list for the day. Remember, you need to do this every single day, probably every half day, if you really want to like focus on the system. And when you're feeling lost in the middle of the game, you look at your priority list. Okay, I can't do one anymore. I can't do two because I didn't even get that champion this game. So number three is this. Like, I can't really do that in this game because I'm already losing, but let me strive to figure out how I can practice that skill anyway with the remainder of this game. And you take all of your energy and your focus and you start to funnel it down to a single point, okay? Because right now it's just spread out shooting in every single direction. It's not focused. The thing that you need to do is you need to study. So you need to get the model. This is what I call the model in the mirror, okay? You need to get the model where you go and you have found the two or three things that you can focus on. You can focus all your energy on in order to improve. And you do that by studying the model of somebody who is what you want to be. In this case, though, don't go too high because it'll lead to this big unfocusedness again. Get somebody who's just like a step ahead of you and study that step. And then you need the mirror, which is that you play and you examine. So you play your game and you will look at the VOD and you play your game and you look at the VOD. And you see the holes in your play that represent that step that you're missing. And you focus on training them. And by the way, the mirror is, some people confuse the mirror. They think, well, I already know what I did wrong in this game and I already know what it looks like. That's not the point of the mirror. The point of the mirror is that you watch yourself make those mistakes in the VOD and you go back and you're like, okay, this is where I made that mistake. Let me ask you a simple question. Do you think you're better than a pro? Because a pro, after they finish the game, all the pros that I work with who are like really top tier level, right? Bjergsen, for example, he goes back to the VOD to that point in the game and he watches his mistake. Even though he knows he made the mistake and he knows what it felt like and he knows what it looks like, he goes back and he watches it. Why? Why do you do that? It's not because you don't remember it. It's not because you can't visualize it. It's because watching it helps you autocorrect any mistake in visualization. So you should still visualize it and then you should watch it just in case. And then because you are watching it, because you're spending time on it, because you're observing yourself, and you're like, okay, here it comes. Here's me. This is me. And I'm making this mistake. You're reliving it. Your mind puts importance on that moment. What you choose to put importance onto and what you choose not to put importance on determines where your latent kind of focus is, where your just average concentration is when you're whimsical in the game and you're not exactly forcing yourself to focus very well, but what you actually care about is the stuff that you've been telling yourself all morning, this is my priority, and you've been watching in every single VOD, and it's the stuff that's important to you now because you have convinced your brain that is important, and so you're focused on it whether you like it or not. So that is why you have the mirror as well as the model. If you are stuck on the model, if you can't figure out what makes you different from somebody who's one step ahead of you, okay, not everybody is skilled at breaking apart the game. Not a problem, just get a coach. And try to find a coach that is like a rank above you that can tell you that. Not one who's going to mislead you by trying to teach you something that would make you challenger, but you're not even masters yet, right? Somebody who's good enough to discern the next thing that you need. So that might take some hunting, right? Because there's not a lot of good repertoire out there of people who are reliable at doing this. But you should look for people who say that they can reliably get people from mid diamond to masters mainly. And if you're looking for a coach, ask them how many people they have and if you can talk to one of the diamond three, you know, or mid diamond players that they got to master. And then if you're stuck with the model part, the mirror part, just start watching your VODs. Just watch your laning phase on fast forward and then skip through the post-laning phase between the errors that you want to watch, that you remember in your head. Okay, write them down on a little sticky note. Okay, I want to look at this spot, this spot, this spot. Watch your laning phase on fast forward, and then skip to those three or four places in the game where you made those mistakes that you remembered you wanted to look at. Try to remember something you did well. Check that out too, and then move on. And you'll get better at watching VODs the more that you watch VODs. All right, that is the answer to that question. Good luck, Sinjin, and I hope to see you in Masters. Question number two.
Hey Weldon. So for the past couple of weeks, I haven't played League at all. I've been focusing on self-improvement and productivity in other areas of my life, which feels great. Focusing on those things, I just don't have the time to play League. Now, I don't find myself having the urge to play it, but I do feel like because I invested so much time, you know, years and years into being good at it, I miss the feeling of having mastery over something. Outside of video games, with few exceptions, there aren't many things in my life that I'm quote-unquote really good at. I enjoy League, but more than that, I think I enjoy the feeling of being very good at something, especially something that I'm passionate about. So I guess in summary, I'm conflicted between spending my time more productively and playing League enough to maintain my skill and feeling a sense of pride and accomplishment. I know there's so many...
Okay. So the essential question is, I only play League for the feeling of mastery. So is that okay? Okay, John. First of all, I'm not surprised, right? If you look at the study of human motivation from the psychological perspective, then it comes down to a couple core theories. And one of the most dominant theories, in my opinion, and one of my favorite, especially from the sports psychology perspective, is self-determination theory. This is the theory that basically says our internal needs come from, our internal motivation comes from the satisfaction of three basic psychological needs. And those basic psychological needs are autonomy, relatedness, and competence. So essentially, being competent at something is internally motivating. It makes you excited to do it, essentially. So that's a normal and a very human thing. And if you play for that purpose and it satiates a certain emotional like salve that you want or that you need or that helps you with your life, like that's not a bad thing. And doing things that you're good at for the sake of being good at them is quite fun and quite fine. If you want to kind of move on, then what I would do is I would look at the things in the game that allow you to be competent at the game, right? So I would look at the transferable skills that from game to game are the things that you rely on to become competent at them. And if you start to take those skills and apply them into a different context, for example, didn't I say this already? I'm leaning towards it. Event management in a company, or doing a certain kind of job, or you know, learning a physical craft, or learning blacksmithing. I don't know. If you're able to kind of take something that led you to become good at video games, and you're able to transfer that skill to a different context, then you can have that kind of similar feeling of competence about yourself and your self-identity as it carries over. That's essentially what happened to me. You know, I was playing video games 2 hours a night, and then I started doing sport coaching, and I was like, oh, hey, cool. All of the sport and mastery development helped me be pretty good at sport coaching. And so that's kind of what I want to do now. So yeah, there's nothing inherently wrong with what you're doing, and the way out of it in a kind of productive, healthy way is to look at social and emotional skills and transferable skills. If you don't have those, then go play video games and rely on the fact that you're good at video games to allow you to defocus on the development of your social and emotional skills and your transferable skills, such as focus and you know, whatever are the other things that you... I mentioned some of these in the first question, so I'm not going to go over them all again, but whatever the core set of competencies that you need to kind of improve, and then start taking those to a different field. And if you can do it cold turkey style, where you just say, well, I want that feeling of competence in another field, So let me quit what I'm doing and focus on this craft. And I know that if I get to the top of this craft, which I can do through effort, that I will start to feel the same thing I do about video games. And once I get that competence, then that will spur my internal motivation. And until I get there, I need autonomy and relatedness, you know, connectedness and social support, and the ability to fail forward, and the ability to feel more competent than I was yesterday. Remember, the mastery is... seeking mastery is always based around the idea of I'm better when I go to bed than I was when I woke up. And if you can kind of like get into that mindset, even about a very noobish thing, and you can distance yourself from comparison to other people who are on different trajectories, then you can enjoy your own competence and your own like pursuit of mastery within your own field, independent of comparison. And I think that's tough in the social media world, right? It's really tough when you can see people all the time on YouTube who are just way better than you. But I am able to seek mastery and enjoy competence in a number of things related to just my own skill level. For example, yoga is a really great one. In fact, you might just want to start up yoga because it teaches you this concept of being better yourself and seeking mastery of your own body, regardless of all the people who are way better than you and who get better faster. And I don't mean way better than you like they've been doing it longer. I mean, I've been doing yoga for like 5 years, and I recently was able to touch my toes. And there are people who do it for 8 months, and they can do things that I could never do after 5 years. So it's a very humbling kind of situation, and it forces you to focus only on your own mastery building. And that might be a helpful skill for you if you want to start to transfer this concept away from League of Legends or video games. Thanks for the question and good luck. Last question, guys.
Hey, Weldon. My name is Quentin, and I was really inspired by your answer to Austin's question on episode 223 and now want to follow up on that. So I was wondering, since I always took a very distant stance to what I perceived as my physical needs, trying to transcend them as best I could, might I have actually done myself more harm than good there? Or to maybe put this question in a more general context, what might the physical needs of an adult be? Thank you so much, and I hope you have a great show.
Thank you, Quentin. Okay, now, I was prepping for the show late today, and so I didn't actually have time to go back and listen to my answer to 223. So, I'm flying a little bit in the dark here. No instruments. Or is it, you're in the dark and so you have to fly with instruments? Well, anyway, it's dark and I have no instruments, so it's even worse. But I'm assuming that we're talking about developmental here. So I talked something about the developmental capabilities of the human body as it's growing and the kinds of like experiences and things that you can do to develop those kind of competencies, whether they're neurological structures or muscular structures or psychological structures in the brain that you develop by doing a bunch of different things when you're young. And now Quentin here is thinking, okay, well, how can I develop myself as an adult? And what are the physical needs that my body has in order to push itself and to develop talents? And I'm not sure how old you are, Quentin. So you might not be an adult. If you're younger than 26, then I would say that you're still developing in terms of the mental aspect of what you can do. So your brain is not fully formed yet, and your body's not fully formed yet if you're male. I'm assuming you're male. Your name's Quentin, and you kind of sounded like a guy. But so if you're younger than 26, then you're still looking at essentially being able to spend a lot of time on physical activity and sport and things like that. That will be beneficial much later in life. Okay, so to get into your question, what are the physical needs of an adult? Or what are the things, in putting it in a different way, what are the things that you can do that will develop yourself and your talents to a higher level in a consistent way, building a system in your body? I think it comes down to whether you're before the hump or over the hump. So like I said, are you over 26, 28, 30 years old? Or are you younger than 26, 28, 30 years old. If you're younger, then you should be working mainly on... how would I answer this? Let me start with older, okay? If you're older and your body's decaying, it's really easy. You just basically want to work on sustenance, like sustaining yourself. So one of the best things that you can do in terms of your body is improve the health of your soft tissues, for example. So you want to have the capability of making sure that you... So when you're working on soft tissues, for example, the ligaments and the tendons here, the main issue is that these things don't have blood flow, okay? So any sort of improvement in strengthening or making them more pliable or recycling, you know, like keeping them healthy, the main issue is that fluid needs to pump in and out of them in a natural way through the use of gravity and through the use of movement, where you're just contracting them and uncontracting them over and over again to force kind of this plasma through them that is not related to the pumping of your heart. And so activities that you do that utilize all of the soft tissue in your body in conjunction with movement are the best for keeping yourself healthy and to sustain your bodily system as you go along. And you will know this from my second question. I'm going to say yoga. You should be doing, if you're an adult over the age of 26 to 30 and you're on your decline for the rest of your life until you die, and you have any care at all about sustaining and developing the physical, like your body as a temple that you can use, you should be doing yoga, because it's the most widely applicable, like systemic art for all of your soft tissue that kind of like hits at everything in your body, and does so in a very balanced way and in a way that gives you functional movement. Okay, so whether or not you're doing any other sport, which you should be doing, and whether or not you're doing any sort of like weightlifting or physical activity or running or whatever, you should, at the very least, be doing yoga for your shoulders and for everything. Okay, so that kind of tackles the soft tissue. And then the second thing you want to do is your mind, right? And the problem is that a lot of the things related to your internal organs in your mind are diet related. So, for example, there's the positive additive things that you could be doing, like taking fish oils, which is a physical need that you have for healthier fat in your body. Or you could cut out bad fat, for example, really thick viscous fats, and you could go more towards the lean, kind of thin watery fats. So we're talking like you want omega-3s and omega-6s, and we eat in the modern world so much omega-12 that we're very unbalanced with the fat in our bodies. And as a result, our brains, which are made like have a ton of fat in them, the consistency of the fat is leaning more towards the omega-12 spectrum and less towards the omega-3-6 side. And so it's just not healthy. So you can improve the myelination of your neurons by making sure that you have a very, you know, balanced diet in terms of fat intake. And you can do things like intermittent fasting to make sure that you have really low adipose deposits, like slow body fat in general. It's, you can think of all the fat in your body as a almost as a hormone receptor, not receptor, but you know, receptor and an outputter. Like the more fat that you have in your body, the more control that fat has over the hormones that are flooding through your body. And so you just kind of want to keep your body fat at like a nice kind of lowish level, generally speaking, and that is accomplished completely through diet and through control of the food that you put in your body. Okay, so you're looking at your diet, kind of trying to always improve that. You're looking at your soft tissue and your muscles and your mobility. You're kind of trying to always improve that. You should tackle a little bit of your heart, you know, cardiac system. And so that is mainly through walking and running. And then the other thing that you want to think about in terms of your physical needs is your brain. So too many people think about how to develop what's up here in complete isolation of their body. And the reality is these two things are connected fundamentally. When you're training your body, you are training your brain. That is exactly what you're doing. Fatigue is widely considered nowadays to be an emotion, to be something that you train by convincing your brain to keep pushing. So we have the physical capability to go past fatigue, but for some reason our brain has a central governor that fatigues us and prevents the recruitment of those muscles. And so kind of whatever sport that you're doing is largely related around neurological conditioning of the brain to allow you to go a little bit further. And for example, yoga, the stretch reflex. One of the main things that you learn in yoga is that when you push against the limits of where you can stretch, you actually can't go far. Whereas when you go a little bit shorter, you fool the brain into relaxing and being like, ah, okay, he's not going to push against the limits of his muscle, so I don't need to activate the stretch reflex to prevent him from injuring his muscle, so I'll chill a little. And then you can kind of sneak in a little bit more reach than you would otherwise, because the brain is not contracting your muscle on purpose and preventing you from reaching that far. So there's all of these things that kind of like have to do with the brain and pain and pushing through limits that allow you to train the same exact system that you train when you're thinking in terms of discipline. So I want to sit down and I want to write a paper. Well, I want to sit down and I want to parent this child who is causing me emotional stress by yelling at me and making me feel bad, but I want to make them feel good in complete selflessness, right? Without thinking about myself or trying to attend to my own emotional needs because they're irrelevant. Or I'm in a relationship and I need to balance my own wants and needs with this other person, and I want to be kind and not walked on at the same time, or I want to like accomplish something in my own life, but I want to make sure that we're building something together. So you have, you know, this complex kind of emotional interplay that you want to do. And we focus a lot on accomplishing those things up here, but you can train those, and you should train those through your body as well, because you can experience pain in your body when you're running. That can be a training mechanism for your ability to tolerate pain. You can experience frustration when you're doing yoga and the pursuit of mastery and the overcoming of distraught emotional states related to self-identity when you're doing yoga. And you can not shy away from those, and instead you can lean into them. And you can take this physical kind of component of your life and you can use it to better yourself in other ways more powerfully than you can do through thinking about it. And I equate this a lot to this concept that people have of learning something by studying. Like, there's a lot of people that go and they read psychology books, and then they come on this show and they come on my stream and they want to converse about psychological topics. And that's fine. There's a lot to be said for studying and learning through knowledge accrual, right? But then there's experiential learning, which is done through having experiences in the real world that rewire your brain. And that leads to a different kind of expertise and knowledge than book learning. And so, for example, I run a program, which I'm going to advertise right now, called the MAC program. And it's a training program for mental resilience. And it's kind of like all the things I've been talking about here, transferable skills. This is the program that I use to teach that. So you learn mindfulness, acceptance, commitment. And people always write me and they ask, hey, I watched the video for today. It was really interesting. Can I watch tomorrow, or should I put it off till tomorrow? Like, can I watch the next video? And I say, no, because what you're doing is you're giving in to the little mental stimulation of exciting information, and it's making you feel like you've gained something, even though you haven't. Because you might know a little bit more than you did yesterday, but you don't know it, if you know what I mean. You don't know it here and here and here. You only know it just like in the spinning cogs of your mind. And so I try to force them to not watch another video, but to think about the video that they did watch as they go through their life for the day and as they experience things, and to start to apply what they saw in that video, which is just like one or two basic things, you know. And they're like, yeah, but this is one or two basic things. Now I know it. I don't need to experience it. Like I know it. I want to learn the next thing. No. Focus on the thing and start to peel back the layers of the onion in the experience that you have in your life. Make it more complex. Find within the simple the very, very complex elements of what it is to be mentally resilient, you know, in tougher situations. So you could say it's really easy for you to be mentally resilient in a situation where a kid comes up and asks for an ice cream cone, and you say, okay, sure. Yeah, here, have my ice cream. Like, you know, I don't need it that much. I wanted it a little bit, but you're a cute kid, and I'd feel bad, and I have enough money to buy more stuff, and so here you go. But in a different situation where I don't know, you're starving, you haven't eaten in 15 days, you haven't drunk any water in like over 24 hours, and somebody comes up and gives you this ice cream cone, and it's like the thing that's going to sustain you and help you get to the oasis on the other side of the hill, and then some kid comes up and asks for it. What you're doing is the same exact thing. You're giving them an ice cream cone or not, but the context within your life and the emotional fortitude and resilience that you would need to have to like give them that ice cream cone is a completely different situation. So you can take the simplest act and you can put it in more and more complex terms. Like it's the same exact thing in terms of leveling up your emotional resilience in relationships. You start out by trying to serve yourself, and then you start out with a couple, right? And you're trying to like navigate that in terms of serving yourself and having emotional needs met by the other person. And then you add kids into the mix. It's kind of like taking the same exact set of skills that you need to make yourself happy and then leveling up the difficulty over and over again. So this, I think, is best accomplished by serving your physical needs and by looking at it as a system of not seeking knowledge so much and instead seeking experience with to apply that knowledge to, which you comes through the body primarily. It comes through going up on stage, feeling what it's like and dealing with it right there in the moment. It comes from paying attention when you're in a fight to the physical needs of your body, like to satiate itself in various different ways, and then suppressing those for the purposes of your values and living those values out, and then coming back a few minutes later and reviewing and saying, okay, this is what I felt like I wanted to do, but I didn't. This is the action that I did take, and it was based on this belief about, you know, what I value. Is this a correct emotion to be suppressing and not giving into? Yes, okay. Is this, but still, is it something that needs to be communicated about? You know, these are things that you learn through experience, through like your physical body. And then you can build those in the gym and out on a run and when you're moving and when you're playing and competing. Okay, one final thing I do want to talk about is the importance of movement in terms of neuroplasticity. So there's a ton of research coming out on kids now, some of it from my university, JYU here in Uvascula, related to the cognitive development of movement to the brain. And I probably talked about this in the previous question. So that is high-intensity interval training and its relation to neuroplasticity and cognitive development, or doing fine motor skills after studying a bunch of vocabulary and how it enhances the learning of that vocabulary. So there is a connection between movement of your body and the development and neuroplasticity of your brain. So as you are developing yourself mentally, you should be taking breaks and moving yourself physically. You should not be sedentary. So when you're studying or working, you should take a break every 45 minutes to stand up and move around to move your body. When you are endeavoring to master a skill or something like that is here, you should strive to do complicated and complex things with your hands and your body that push you and force you to learn coordination, because the interplay between you learning that coordination in a neuromuscular way and your brain learning things that are completely unrelated to sport but related to maybe philosophy or memory or whatever, the interplay between those things is starting to be very connected in the research literature. So find some sort of sport that has no bottom or no top, that allows you to continually develop your coordination and hand-eye coordination or foot-eye coordination or bodily movement, like dance, for example, like yoga, like juggling, whatever it may be, and then incorporate that into your life and enjoy the benefits of it. All right, that's my show for today. Thanks for tuning in, guys. If you like this show, come check it out live on Twitch, twitch.tv/mindgamesweldon. I answer questions like this, but we delve even deeper into every topic because we have feedback with the chat before and after the show every single day, 6:30 p.m. LA time. Come check it out. Make sure to follow my channel, which is linked somewhere here. No, it's not. Okay. Yeah, it's linked down below this video. And you'll get a notification when I go live. I'll see you tomorrow. That's the show for you today. I hope that you guys enjoyed it. Remember, you can check out the show live at twitch.tv/mindgamesweldon every day, 6:30 p.m. And you can join the pre and post show chat where I answer questions from the audience in depth. We can kind of dig into them deeper because you're there to respond. And make sure that if you check out the Mac program, mindgames.gg/MAC, that you guys use the code podcast. Thanks for listening, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.